This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Never filtered, always fun.
Some underpants talk.
Got it all done.
You got it.
Everything.
A good clean.
You are gold dust on this show.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
What the hell do people that don't watch sports, like, watch on TV? I gave The Bachelorette 5 minutes of my life last night, and I had to turn it off.
Well, those shows are a waste of time.
I could not do that.
I know one loser.
This girl telling multiple men that she's in love with all of them?
I don't understand.
No way.
I've never understood the popularity of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Me neither, man. I can't do it. I'll never do it again.
But it's hugely popular. Massive numbers.
But to me, it's...
She's hot, though.
It's all made up. It's all made up for the camera.
Absolutely.
How many of these couples stay together afterwards?
None of them.
None of them. And do you think any of the guys or the girls that are going on this show actually really are seeking love?
You know what? I used to date a girl who was like an actress. She said a lot of this stuff, like, they're basically part-time actors.
They're filling in. Well, like, Big Brother's coming back soon, right? Big Brother's a show. It's in the summer. It's on 3 times a week. It's programming when a lot of different things are really not available to you.
That's both you two.
I'll admit I get into it. But you know exactly what you're getting in terms of what they're looking for. They're looking for bombastic personalities. They're looking
good-looking people.
Exactly. Good-looking people, and then nerds and different ethnicities, and you need, you know, all these different checklists. It's the exact same thing, just different people every time.
So then I got just thrown down a rabbit hole where I think I watched Yankees, Nationals.
Yeah, those were on last night.
And then I went to Anaheim, Arizona. And it's just like, for some reason, when I start a baseball game, I got to watch it to the end.
That's a big commitment because those games can go 3-4 hours.
No kidding. And it was such a bad game. Like, Arizona killed them. And I'm like, why am I watching this?
Baseball's in a weird spot. Like, I read yesterday, I think it was Rob Manfred was saying, the commissioner, that attendance is down league-wide. They're really concerned about it. And baseball's always had the luxury of having exclusivity over the sports world in the summers. Yeah. Right? Like, there's nothing really else going on. There's some golf majors. There's some tennis majors. Up here, there's CFL. But in the States, unlike how the NBA has to compete with the NHL NFL and college football, in July and August, it's all baseball all the time. So they've always had that built in, that people are like, well, it's baseball season. There's nothing else going on sports-wise. I'll go down to the park, or I'm going to watch it on TV. And I kind of get the impression that this new style of baseball that we've talked a lot about on this show, and Alex Anthopoulos is going to be on in an hour. We'll get into this with him, where it's basically you either hit a home run or you strike out.
Yeah.
And people are shifting all over the park, so not as many balls are in play, which doesn't lead to a lot of excitement and spontaneity.
Plays at second or third.
It's a very formulaic sport now.
There's no such thing as the seeing eye grounder now.
It doesn't happen. You don't throw a ball into the gap and then all hell breaks loose on the base paths. Like, it just doesn't take place the way that it always did in baseball. Mm-hmm. So I sense that a lot of people are like, I don't know if I love this. Like, it's almost like a courting period with this new style of baseball, and they got to get people to buy in. And I don't know if everybody's buying in. And I know I find
they
that.
Ever make the shift illegal?
It feels like there's some smoke there. I don't think that's a smart idea because I think it's a slippery slope. If you make the shift illegal, where do you draw the line?
Right.
When does it get to a point where they say, you know what, no one's hitting the curveball anymore. You can't throw curveballs. You know what I'm saying? Like, the shift is there because you're allowed to move all over the field. The data suggests this is what's going to happen. So if you can't adjust to it, then that's on you. I think the batters have to find a way to adjust. That's been the problem, is kids come up and they launch balls to left or launch balls to right, and they turn on everything, and no one's a slap hitter anymore.
I'll tell you what, there was an ESPN crew that did the game. It was Sutcliffe, Ross, and this guy, Booger. Who is that guy?
That's John Shambi. He's been on the show before. He was the guy that was yelling at us. Remember, we were goofing on ESPN for showing the Yankees taking batting practice in spring training?
Yeah.
And he was, like, offended
by
that?
He's a bigger dude, right?
Yeah. Red hair?
Yeah, they are entertaining. Like, they laughed and were chirping
at us.
They were chirping each other and laughing. It was, I said to myself during the broadcast, I'm like, these guys are very entertaining. It was fun to watch for baseball.
You need that in baseball because there's a lot of dead time in baseball, right?
Yeah, they had a ton of fun and they had some. They were entertaining. I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, you know what's entertaining for me, Brian? You wanted this. Trades.
Oh, yes.
And it's all starting to heat up.
This week, I think this is going to be an epic week. You had the Arizona-Montreal trade. Let's call it over the weekend. You wake up and Mike Hoffman is on the move. San Jose? No. Going to be flipped to Florida.
San Jose, I got to give them a lot of credit. Like,
well, Doug Wilson.
Doug Wilson clears cap space and picks up multiple draft picks to hold on to a guy for an hour. Like, just to play the middleman in a deal because apparently Pierre Dorion and the Senators couldn't work out a deal with Florida.
He doesn't like to. Did you see that?
I saw that.
I don't often talk shop within the division.
Yeah, Frank Saravelli reporting that his understanding is that the Senators and Dorion, they kind of have a policy where they don't like to make deals within the division, which I think is a ludicrous move. There's only four divisions.
Yeah.
If there's eight, okay.
Yeah.
There's four. 25% of the league is cut out.
You're right. Now,
if you have that policy.
The only saving grace in that was that Talon came out and said, we didn't offer that same package to Dorion. That's the only, because why wouldn't you take that if you're a Dorion?
I think if they're looking at kind of blowing it up and rebuilding and...
You want the draft picks.
You would want the draft picks. What do you want Michael Bodker for?
But that's
a salary dump.
Salary dump.
But apparently, that's the thing. Like, the only, again, Talon's presser, he's like, no, we didn't have that package for Hoffman. So they must have called up and said, we'll give you a fourth rounder. Like, we'll just take him off your hands. They may have done that. I don't know.
They may have thought they could fleece him.
Exactly. But then Doug Wilson goes, well, I need to move some salary out. I want to move a couple contracts off. This is what I got for you.
Right.
And Dorion must have not had much on the table, quite honestly. If Dale Talon is admitting openly that he didn't even have that offer for Hoffman, and you saw what Dorion got for Hoffman, which isn't much.
It's nothing.
Michael Bodker's
really
a fine
third or
player.
Fourth
a
line plug and play guy.
He's a third line guy that's going to get you 10 to 15 goals.
Yeah. Exactly. Pops.
He's a plug and play guy.
Yeah, and he's a $4 million cap hit, $3 million real money, so they save some money on the cap. But ultimately, the elephant in the room that's not in the room anymore is that they moved that, whatever we'll call it, fiasco?
Fiasco, that is Mike Hoffman
out
right
of
now,
their
this
dressing
whole situation.
Room.
And I am surprised at the timing. I am very surprised. I'm surprised the team would take a run at him just based on the way Talon expressed it today. Now, he said, I believe in my staff and I believe in my people and we've done our due diligence. But he also, I thought he said that he spoke with Hoffman's agent. Like, you're telling me you didn't get an opportunity to talk to Hoffman personally? Maybe there wasn't enough time because it was like an hour in between the transaction. But you're taking on a situation here where his fiancée's coming with him.
Yeah.
And Talon said, you know, it's a clean slate, blah, 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 and everyone's going to welcome Hoffman. And I guess welcome his fiancée and the wives and girlfriends are going to do that. But I think that's presuming a lot.
I think we got to get to the bottom of it, though. We got to find out if she actually did it or not.
Well, of course
I'll tell
you
as a, and I don't know if this is kind of offside to say, Brian, but as a former professional athlete, if that was a situation where I found out somebody that I thought I was in love with and going to marry was doing that, she ain't coming with me to Florida. I'm sorry. There's no way.
Well, maybe that was a part of a conversation with the agent, you know, through the agent. Hey, is there a chance, if it turns out that she is guilty, if she had been doing this, harassing Carlson's wife online for months.
I'm not bringing her to Florida.
Here's the question.
I don't know if that's rude to say or not, but if that's me, she ain't coming to Florida because I'm not risking my whole career over someone being completely insane online.
Well, here's
not
another,
doing it.
Here's another question that...
You imagine him wheeling into a team party?
Well, he's wheeling in now.
Yeah.
Like, you know...
It's not changing. He's
there now. Florida's there. Taking
but,
him on.
As I said... First, we have to get to the bottom of this. We have to find out if she did this or if she didn't. And I hope that happens sooner or later for everybody involved.
But that's where
I'm sure Mike Hoffman, if he knows he's innocent, he wants this over too. Like, I didn't do this. There you go.
The investigation doesn't stop because he's been traded, right? That's my understanding.
I would hope not.
No, it doesn't. So, like, what's going on between the Carlsons and Hoffman's fiance is in the courts.
It's in the courts. Now, it isn't. It's a more of a glorified restraining order from what it sounds like.
Basically, yeah.
But still, there's going to have to be some due diligence done, and there probably will be an outcome. So whether this takes 2 months, 2 weeks, whatever, like it could be mid-October, mid-November, and all of a sudden this comes out and says, yeah, we went back, like, it was her. Mm-hmm. Or we went back and it wasn't. Like, there's still, the chapter's not done yet.
Well, there also is a third option there where there's not enough evidence to prove.
So it's just hearsay.
And guess what she's probably going to be labeled with?
Court of public opinion,
which a lot of the other wives have already done online. Exactly. A lot of the other wives have said she's guilty based on what they've tweeted out.
Yes.
Now, again, that's completely unfair because it hasn't been proven. She has the right to deny it.
Right.
And Hoffman is in a position right now where he's not the one that's in court. It's his fiance, but he's going down with the ship, so to speak.
Absolutely.
He's tied to her, and he's come out multiple times and said, she didn't do it, I had nothing to do it, I'm sticking with her, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I do think you're it's a big gamble for Florida. Like, I know what he can do on the ice.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good player that'll score you 25. I mean, there's no denying that.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk about, oh, this guy's this in the locker room. Like, if we're just going to exclude the wife for 2 seconds, being in a locker room, and Jamie knows this, it's not just pleasantries all day, every day. It's not like
it's like
it's
a
not
family.
Like everybody loves each other, and it's like you hang out. If a guy's a bit of a goof and can get 30 goals and play good and play right and play hard, I don't really care. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to hang out with you. I'm not going out with you for dinner. But if you show up and put your gear on and you get your 30 goals, you help us win, and you're not a total complete disaster, I can put up
with
a bit of a goof.
Get the benefit of the doubt. You're right. Here's where I was coming. I know.
Everyone we played with, Jamie, they weren't all perfect. I'm sure you played junior with some guys that were
No, for sure. But here's where I would say, again, this takes on a different angle than the guy being a weirdo or the guy being a jerk or whatever, where you're like, whatever. What is different about this Hoffman story with his fiance is, you're right, if you're in the room and on the ice, it's one thing. You're like, whatever, I can deal with him. It's when you go home and your wife's like, I can't stand this woman, or I'm worried that she's doing this to that.
Can't stand her, don't go in the wives' room and sit in your seat and enjoy the game and go home like a normal person.
But that's not right. Why can't the wives go in the wives' room? Like, why? You know what I'm saying?
Well, if you don't like her, then don't sit beside her.
But it's not about liking, dude.
I know.
Dude, this isn't about liking. She's being accused of psychotic behavior.
Yes.
Like, it's not liking, man. She just rubs me the wrong way.
She didn't criticize a purse.
What you're saying is they don't want to even be associated with this person.
I would think there's probably a lot of women that would be like, I don't want anything to do with this woman ever.
Right.
So what changed, if it's her, again.
Yes.
So what changes it, I think, is I hear what you're saying. In the room, you're like, whatever. Guys, there's 23 guys on the roster.
Yeah, you don't like everybody. And if they're a jerk, you just don't go near them.
But if you go home and your wife and girlfriend is complaining about the situation constantly, then it is in your life.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, you're like, I can't get away from this guy because of what his fiance is all about.
But what if you just say to your wife, hey, look, I go out in the ice and I play. What is she doing to you that's so horrible? If you don't like her, avoid her. Is that a problem?
I get that.
You know, hey, she's got this reputation of doing this horrible thing. But if she didn't do it, or even if she did, you say, you know what? That's her. I'm not going near her. Like,
or you have to have...
Why is it, look, easier said than done.
Easier said than done. And you have to have, for lack of better words, we'll call it a strong room. Not even a strong dressing room, a strong wives room where maybe there's wives that are older who don't mess around with that nonsense. Like, they're not there. They got kids. They go about. I will say this, though. It's a great exercise in a lot of different things because how many times have we, and we're guilty of it, but everyone's guilty of it, people who talk about hockey, they use the word intangible. And the analytics guys get mad. You can't quantify, intangibles. This is an intangible. This situation is intangible. Like, there are things that you can't quantify with a number. Because if you just looked at the cold, hard facts, just what you started the conversation with, this guy's a 25 to 30 goal scorer. He's a really good player.
Yeah, you go, get me 30, shut your mouth, and don't be a goof.
But that may not be the case, because the intangible could be that what Brian's saying, you're bringing, again, alleged, if you've got a healthy body, you're taking out, let's say, the liver and inserting a piece of cancerous liver, potentially, that could infect the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to have an analogy.
Well, look at Ottawa's season. Like, Ottawa's season was was an awful season.
Right.
Based on the way Dorion was responding to the trade today, basically he said, we had a poisonous room.
Right.
We had real problems. Hoffman appears to be the guy who's going to have to take all the bullets for it. I don't think it's, obviously it's not one guy. No. You don't have a season like that because of one guy.
Correct.
But this Florida team is not the New England Patriots.
Right.
They're not. They're a young team who hasn't been in the playoffs in a while.
Right.
And you're throwing this guy into
the
mix.
And then you get some scoring, but it's not like this is going to like put them over the edge.
No, I mean, that's another thing. Like, Hoffman gets talked about. He's never scored 30. Everyone's like, he's a 30-goal scorer. He's never scored 30.
Right. I think he's a 25 guy.
Exactly. Which is a good player.
Good player.
Like, there's no dispute.
Oh, he has got some big league talents. Like, you sit right between the bit. This guy can skate and shoot the puck.
He can also mail in a game or two.
But that's where we had the big argument about Galchenyuk and Domi. Like, Galchenyuk is a guy who's got talent oozing, right? But there's nights where he just completely is sleeping. Let's talk about Mike Hoffman against McDavid last year.
Yeah, we should tweet out that video and say the Florida Panthers have brought Mike Hoffman in for his defensive prowess.
That was awful,
just get
right?
Burned.
Like, there are nights where Hoffman, and it wasn't just Guy Boucher was frustrated with him. I don't know if you guys remember, it was Dave Cameron who had benched Hoffman in Florida a couple years back because Hoffman wasn't playing well defensively and wasn't driving into, I guess, the area that Cameron wanted him to. Like, there's a couple coaches that were frustrated with Hoffman, just like Galchenyuk was in Montreal. There, you could see Julian and Therrien, regardless of what you think of Therrien. Therrien was frustrated with Galchenyuk. So It is. Sometimes it may work out. Sometimes it may not. Is it a calculated risk for Florida? Yeah, it is. Because you have a young team. Now, young is subjective because their goaltenders are older. Like Louis.
Right, but overall, Barkov and Ekblad are the two faces
guys,
of the
two
club.
Jamie, the other X factor is when something of this magnitude happens to an athlete, trust me, it is in your head. You are thinking every time you go in, he's going to walk in the locker room and be like, everybody's looking at me right now. Can he go out there and perform?
He may have to change. Like, that's the thing. Like, what would you say to him on the ice? Now, I don't know if you're allowed to say anything nowadays because you hurt people's feelings.
I guarantee you
I'd be yelling at the bench.
Oh, you!
I would be yelling from the bench at him, saying,
"Everyone
hey, I got an Instagram account. Your wife want to chirp me too?"
No,
like,
yeah.
I would have
everyone hates you.
I would have every different type of comment for him.
I was
on
never
the ice.
Into
I
that.
Don't think you can do that anymore.
Imagine what Ray would get after with that.
Oh, Ray would.
I think you can still do that. I think you can still do that. I mean,
I
you're right.
Know.
Maybe in 2018 you're
in
not
2018,
allowed to.
In 2018, you can't say
can't
or look
say
at
it's
anybody
cold in
without
the studio.
Well, anyways, you can't do anything.
No, you can't.
But
I could see a chirp here or there. You think Brad Marchand, who's going to play him five times a year, isn't going to have a word for him?
Absolutely.
You don't think, even Kadri, if he gets in close on him, won't
Max,
say something?
Exactly. I think Naz is a guy who would chirp. There's a few guys.
He is going to get it. Oh, it's.
But you're right. But that's the, this could be not only the crossroads of his career. This could help him become a really good player or have him, flush out because of some of the things that have gone on. This isn't even just his play.
Well, like I said, we got to get to the bottom of it.
This is his life.
For him and his life and his career and his play and everything, if she did do it, he's got to cut the cord. And I don't know, so everyone's got their own relationship and nobody's business to, but that's what he's got to do.
The Braves are in town for a two-game series. Alex Anthopoulos will join us at 5:05.
I thought you said Brazzers, but you said Braves.
The Braves. The Braves are in town starting tonight.
Yeah.
And they have been really the surprise of baseball, certainly the surprise of the National League East. So we're going to catch up with Alex Anthopoulos just after 5. Going to get into some NBA draft news. The Raptors don't have a pick. They don't really have any cap space. But word is starting to leak that they want to get into the top 10. And word is even leaking in terms of which player they want to potentially go after in the top 10, which I just don't understand why Masai would let that get out. Yeah, why would you let that leak?
Yeah.
Not only do we want into the top 10, I'm going to tell you exactly who we're trying to target in the top 10. It makes no sense.
Yeah, the price
you think
goes
another
up.
Team that liked them too? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The price goes up too when you're
Price goes up. It just And it's coming
a lot of things on Twitter that I've just been watching. It's like, what is this guy doing?
It's coming from reputable sources. I mean, this is like Mark Stein and Wojnarowski, two guys that have a connection to Masai, who generally tries to keep guarded. But if one of the big American guys comes calling, stuff seems to leak to them. So I do think there's some smoke here. We'll see if there's any fire. But he's going to have to work some magic this summer, Masai, because, again, no picks, up against the cap, new coach, high expectations. So we'll talk some NBA and the Raps a couple days removed or leading up to the NBA draft on Thursday night. It's the NHL draft this week. Bobby Max coming up. We'll get into his thoughts on what could happen at the draft, his take on yesterday's tweets about Tavares and the Maple Leafs, and back into the Hoffman news as well. And the Jays back in action tonight. Marcus Stroman back on Twitter, and I have a feeling the Jays are not ecstatic about it. We'll tell you about that next. Bob McKenzie will join us here in about 5 minutes down in Vegas. NHL awards tomorrow. Jays back in action tonight. They were off yesterday at home. And the Atlanta Braves are in town. Marcus Stroman has been out of the spotlight for quite some time. And he tweets out late last night, "I'm back. Next start in the big leagues with the squad. Shout out to anyone who helped throughout the process. Hashtag HDMH." You got to get that height doesn't measure heart hashtag in there. And I have a feeling the Blue Jays, this isn't the end of the world that a player is trying to get his own message out or let people know, but generally the way this works, it's a formality.
Right.
The team will tell you when you're back, and the team will announce it to people when you're back. You don't go out and let everybody know.
And he does, though, because he's a goof.
He does, because that's the way that's the way he operates. Yeah. And it was the same thing when it came to the arbitration case where he got out in front of it. And listen, he's entitled, he's got Twitter, but I don't think this is so much, this isn't a big story because Stroman is going to pitch for the Jays again. Everybody knows that. I think from a Blue Jay perspective, they're like, okay, can we control the message, A, but B, if you are coming back, which you are eventually, it's not like they're going to leave him in the minors.
So what is he, did he say that he's starting tonight?
No, he's not starting tonight, but it's also means someone has to leave the roster.
Yeah, so they're probably, again, he outed his manager because his manager probably didn't let a player know that he was on his way out.
Well, exactly. And again, I don't know when it's going to become official that Stroman is back. He'll probably be activated basically the day he pitches, just in terms of roster manipulation. But if he's right around the corner, now they might know this in the clubhouse anyway, but all of a sudden, a guy who's on the fringes, guess where you're going?
Right.
You're back to Buffalo or whatever
exactly.
It is.
You're going back down.
And that's a scenario where I would think if you're the GM of the team, you would rather have that conversation with that player than have Marcus Stroman tweet it out. Now the guy's like, okay, my time is up, blah, blah, blah. It's just another example of Stroman doing things differently, which is not the end of the world, but it is something in a stuffy sports world where executives, if you do it once, they look past it. Twice, they're like, nah. If it's a constant, which it is with Stroman, I do sense that they're probably getting a little bit frustrated.
You're right.
That they're probably like, can you just settle down a little bit and let us control what we control?
I think you're bang on. I think it's, and it's not disruptive. It's not, but it just, they probably want him to just do what he needs to do, and that's be healthy. And
what they
pitch.
Want him to do is
pitch
the way he's, you want to be a big wheel and announce this or not, go out there and do your job.
Yeah.
Because he's nowhere close to being able to act like that. You got to.
It just, I think from a management standpoint, they don't want that type, because if they try and keep things behind the curtain and all of a sudden, you know, it's not a big deal, but now you've got to address that, because whoever player is on the bubble, his agent's calling going, okay, so is my guy going down? What's going on? And they may have had a plan in place, and now they've got to execute it because it's outed.
Well, and Stroman, again, by all accounts, just based on the way everything has played out here, this hasn't necessarily been a physical rehab. It's been a mental rehab. It's about him resetting and finding his game and finding himself again. And I wasn't expecting a totally different approach from Stroman. But I think him just getting out in front of this means it's probably going to be the exact same Marcus Stroman.
Yeah.
And you're going to see the shimmies on the mound, and you're going to see him talking big. And talking about, you know, how he's on top of things and he's going to take over the world. And at some point, he's got to prove it on the mound.
Yeah.
And the stats just have not supported that. He was awful to start the year. And, you know, I'm curious to see what he's got down the stretch. But there's now rumors out of New York, like the Mets are thinking about potentially putting a guy like Syndergaard or DeGrom out there who are young, controllable pieces because the Mets are in tire fire mode and might be reloading and rebuilding the way the Braves did, the way the Phillies did. If Syndergaard and DeGrom could be on the marketplace.
At DeGrom, I'd take him any day of the week.
He's an absolute stud.
Too, just because of the injury?
Both of them have more value than Stroman right. And Sanchez, because Sanchez hasn't been great this year, and obviously we saw what happened to him last year with the injuries. So if those two could be out there, and I'm not saying just because one team does it, you have to do it.
Right.
But if it becomes a reality that maybe the Mets would look into that and maybe seek out a market for them, then it's not impossible to believe maybe the Blue Jays decide to do something similar with Stroman and or Sanchez. So we'll see. We got a month and a half until the trade deadline.
That Syndergaard's a beast.
And DeGrom, his numbers are unbelievable. That's, like legitimate.
And they still can't win
top of the rotation.
So brutal.
Their run support for him is like historically brutal. Alex Anthopoulos in about a half an hour. We'll get into the NBA news and notes and what the Raptors could do leading up to the draft on Thursday night. We'll get to that in about an hour. Bob McKenzie in 2 minutes. All right, Alex Anthopoulos in half an hour. Jays Braves down at the Rogers Center. Now that he's a visitor at the Rogers Center, I want to ask him his opinion of the Rogers Center. I feel like he'll give us a diplomatic answer, but who knows? Maybe he'll shock the world and be like, it's brutal. I hate it. Awful. Awful stadium.
Is it the worst in the league?
No, it's not the worst. The one in Oakland is generally accepted as the worst. The Trop is brutal in Tampa. But I'd say it's bottom five, bottom seven. I haven't been to every single stadium, but
right.
I've been to a lot of them, and it's just a concrete jungle down there. It's just there's no character to it. It's outdated.
Yeah, you need a new one.
Yeah. We'll see. See what Anthopoulos says. The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance. And here's Bob McKenzie. How you doing, Bob?
Excellent, boys. How you doing today?
Well, trying to wrap our heads around this Mike Hoffman trade. So he goes to San Jose, and then they flip him to Florida. Is that because Ottawa wasn't willing to talk within the division and wasn't willing to trade him directly to Florida, or what happened here?
Well, I know they did talk within the division. I know they talked to Dale Tallon about a trade for Hoffman. According to Tallon, they were asking too much. They didn't want draft picks. They wanted players. And whether or not sometimes in a division a team might ask for a premium when they're dealing with a team they know is a rival. But you also know that there's absolutely nothing to stop any general manager that you do trade a player to of flipping them back within your division. That can happen all the time. I mean, the LA Kings traded Martin Jones to the Boston Bruins, if I remember correctly, and Martin Jones quickly was flipped back to the San Jose Sharks,
if
my memory serves.
Yep.
And LA knew when they were doing this that there was a chance that could happen, and I guess Ottawa had to know there was a chance that this could happen as well. The question that it would need to be asked of Ottawa is, why did you want Bodker and his salary versus draft picks for Mike Hoffman? Or why did you not pursue the draft pick conversation with Florida when you were asking for players before? And is there a reason for that? Because at face value, you would think a second, a fourth, and a fifth would be worth more. I mean, Doug Wilson did some nifty maneuvering here to free up cap space and load the cupboard with draft picks. And so, you know, I know Ottawa, initially, the asking price on Hoffman was a first-round pick and a prospect. That was before all the negativity came out on the accusations against his fiance and his stock plummeted. So I don't know what specifically in the negotiation with Florida, you know, if at that time Ottawa simply wasn't prepared to take draft picks and wanted instead of a player like, you know, a serviceable player like Bodker, but one who's overpaid. Does it have anything to do with what's going to happen here in the next week where they're going to need hockey players because they might be shipping a bunch out the door, at least Erik Karlsson and maybe Bobby Ryan potentially on the move. And if those guys are on the move and, you know, you've got to get to the cap floor and you've got to have enough serviceable players in your lineup and maybe you're getting a lot of future considerations in a Carlson deal, well, then maybe Bodker is more valuable to you in the very short term than some extra draft picks. So I'm not sure what the specific rationale was one way or the other, but at the end of the day, they got cents on the dollar on Hoffman, bottom line.
Bob, you just mentioned the negativity around Hoffman. Is there any kind of timeline where we can get to the bottom of this? I'm sure if Hoffman, 100%, or as he claims, 150%, it's not him, I'm sure he'd like to get that result sooner. Like, is there any timeline or where we find out this was this woman that he's engaged to?
Nothing ever may happen on this. I don't know the ins and outs of the story. I mean, I'm a hockey reporter, and I got enough on my plate without trying to figure out what happens when somebody goes to swear a protection order with a justice of the peace. It's a little outside my wheelhouse. But having said that, I mean, and unless there was some criminal activity that the police are convinced that they have proof of proceeding, this is one of these things that may never, you know, it may just stick right where it is right now. Because again, and I'm talking out of my backside in terms of what I know about these legal proceedings, but it's one thing to get this protection order. It's another thing to have it served. And I don't know that it was ever served. And so the bottom line is if you're Mike Hoffman, you just go off to Florida and you go and play hockey you'd like to get it resolved and you'd like to have your fiance's name cleared. But in the absence of that, maybe nothing ever happens more than this, and sort of the cloud kind of follows you around. But nevertheless, you just move on with your life and start fresh in Florida with the Panthers.
With Bob McKenzie. All right, let's get to Tavares and your tweets yesterday about the Leafs and them potentially putting together a video, trying to, sway him to come here if it gets to that point. And as of next Monday, if he's still unsigned with the Islanders, he can talk to whoever he wants. And Dreg's reporting that it will probably be five or less teams that actually get that opportunity to meet with Tavares. But why do you believe the Leafs could be one of those five teams?
Well, first and foremost, we're kind of operating a little bit blindly here. We know that Tavares is negotiating with the Islanders, as Dreg's pointed out. If he gets to the free agent period, there's going to be five teams that he looks at. I have no idea whether Toronto would be one of those. Toronto would like to be one of those. And all I was saying was, you hear things through the grapevine, and what I heard was that Toronto is in the process of putting something together that if Tavares should get the free agency and if they get the opportunity to get him in the shopping period, that they would have something to present to him. And it's funny the reaction on Twitter, and people were laughing and saying, oh, how stupid is a video? And that there's a really good book written about Tom Verducci wrote about the Chicago Cubs, and it was all about the boy wonder general manager there. I forget his name in baseball.
Theo.
And Joe Maddon. And it was all about the Cubs and their winning year or whatever. And there's a great passage in there where it talks about how they got the pitcher from Boston, John Lester, if I remember.
Yeah, Lester.
You can tell I'm a real neophyte with baseball, but the book was fantastic. It was a really good book. And anyways, the manner in which they got him was with this really, really elaborate video where they showed the marquee at Wrigley Field with Lester pitching and, his name up there as pitching in a World Series deciding game, and it was really well done. And after the fact, I think Lester said that was the thing that really thing. So, hey, listen, lots of teams do this sort of stuff, and the fact that it's in Toronto, and I knew when I first mentioned it that people would freak out because there's two groups of people involved in this discussion. One is Leaf fans who get all fired up and lose their mind and think, yeah, Bob McKenzie said they're putting a video together for tomorrow. That must mean they're getting him. Well, no, he's not even in free agency yet, and there's no guarantee the Leafs will even be in the mix for him. But I think, all things being equal, they'd like that opportunity to try and work something out. And so there's that. And then the other group of people is the people who freak out because they think anytime anybody mentions the Toronto Maple Leafs pursuing somebody, that you are automatically one of those people who assumes the Leafs are going to get all the best players And as I said with Scotty Mack and Bruce Arthur on Scotty's show yesterday, we talked about the reverse possibility. What if Austin Matthews wants to do a short-term deal so he can go home and play for his hometown Arizona Coyotes in 5 years? And how funny would that be? So I understand the dynamic that's at work, and we'll just kind of let it take a day at a time until we see where Tavares is at and where he gets to.
Well, for sure, but I guess what I would take out of this all is that if you're hoping to become one of those teams that meets with him, you're not doing it to waste time. Like, you're going in with a 7-year deal at a lot of money, because
That's the whole point. I don't think we should assume anything in terms of, you know, if the Leafs were to have interest in Tavares, and as I said, I suspect if he's free, they would at least like to see what you'd have to get real creative, because everybody knows there's financial implications for the Leafs with Matthews and Marner and Nylander and everything they've got to get done. And I don't know if there's an easy way just to throw a big double-digit number on the table at 7 years and say, yeah, we can still fit John Tavares in all this. You know, maybe it needs to be a 5-year deal. Maybe it needs to be, structured differently. And so I'm sure there's a lot of creative ways any team, never mind just the Toronto Maple Leafs, would look to try and crack the Tavares nut as it applies to them individually. And then it will be up to Tavares to decide which 5 or 6 teams he's potentially interested in looking at. But it'll be fascinating over the course of the next week to see how it all plays out.
Well, I would think the Leafs, I mean, you got to go big game hunting if the big game is out there.
Yeah,
you know, the same thing with Carlson. Like, I can't picture Ottawa ever trading Carlson to Toronto, just based on what we saw with Hoffman, the owner, the tire fire in that city. But you got to make a call. I mean,
you got to sniff around. Bobby, just out of curiosity, what kind of things are presented in these, like, meetings? It's like, this is what we're going to pay you, the term?
Well, in theory, you're not supposed to negotiate, in theory, but I mean, who's kidding who? You can talk about, they say you can talk about general parameters, whatever that means. Yeah, exactly.
It's
once
numbers.
You get in the room and what have you. And here's the bottom line. I mean, the Leafs were in a little different situation couple of years ago when Steven Stamkos was up, because they were that much further away from having to deal with the Matthews extension, the Marner extension, and all of that, and Nylander as well. But, you know, they made it well known at that time that they were all in and very interested in getting Steven Stamkos. And I don't know why it would come as a surprise to anybody other than trying to, you know, paying heed to the financial implications of Matthews, Marner, and Nylander at all, that the Leafs wouldn't be interested if John Tavares becomes available. And as I said, it might be a long shot by the time you have to figure out the structure and the finances. But as I say, we're again dealing in hypotheticals, because who knows? Maybe a day or two or three from now, John Tavares is going to say, boom, done. Got my new deal done with the New York Islanders, and I'm happy to stay here and not even get to the stage that Stamkos got to, where he was right on the doorstep of free agency. And after the meeting with the Leafs, basically decided that was the catalyst, actually. You know, it might have been so overwhelming for him that the Leafs had all these corporate partners and everybody involved to make presentations to Stamkos on how much money he could earn outside of being a player with the Toronto Maple Leafs and endorsements and everything else. And I think he got a little overwhelmed by the whole thing and basically instructed his agents after that, get a deal done with Tampa and let's get the hell out of here.
Soft. That's why he's from Markham, not Toronto. You got to point that out. How do you turn your back on that kind of?
Sorry, JT's from Mississauga.
Well, that's a good point, actually. Maybe I should watch myself. All right, Bob. Good stuff, man. We'll do it again later in the week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
There's Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider. The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It.
What if you went, this is ridiculous because you, financially, but you're allowed up to 20% of the cap. Cap's going to go to 80. What if you said 3 years at 14? You're allowed 16, which is technically 20%.
I don't know how Tavares. It's difficult to get a read on these guys.
I know. I'm just being ridiculous.
I think if you're the Leafs, you go in with like multiple options,
all different scenarios.
Absolutely.
But that's my point. Is if you know that big numbers are around the corner, but you're saying, okay, I can bridge these two. You know, I'm probably going to bridge Nylander. Probably going to bridge Marner potentially. if they bet on themselves.
Yeah, for
I'm
sure.
I'm going to have something with it, you know, double digits with Matthews, but. You know, they're going to be creative. That's what these guys do.
That's why you have Pridham. That's why you have Gilman. So you get creative.
I get the sense that it's not going to be a seven-year deal, but maybe it's a massive number on smaller term.
Could be.
Now, he may not take it.
Listen, if you're the Leafs, you got to be all over.
Absolutely.
Like, you have to take a kick at the can. Like, you get an opportunity to bring. If your center ice is Tavares, Matthews, Kadri, you're loaded up the middle.
You're
loaded.
Set up.
You're you know, and
that
you're improving on a team.
Third line.
That's what I'm saying. He'd be arguably the best third line center in the league.
Well,
and
he would be.
And you could still mix and match and put him up on left wing for a few shifts, whatever.
Absolutely.
Why I just don't think it would be a fit, but you never know.
Well, we'll talk more about that later in the afternoon.
We'll take a 2-minute break and come back and chat about it some more.
All right, Alex Anthopoulos coming up in the next hour. Tom Penn, ESPN NBA analyst as well. There are some rumors out there. The Raptors are looking to move into the top 10, and every player on the roster is open for discussion. So we'll get into some Raptors talk and back into the NBA, the draft in a couple of nights. NHL draft later in the week as well. We'll continue to hammer on that. And Alex Anthopoulos in town with the Braves starting down at the Rogers Center tonight. We'll catch up with Alex in about 10 minutes.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.